Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men News on a day where we remember those 96 who lost their lives at Hillsborough 31 years ago today. Obviously, we're normally a bit more playful and a bit more around the world of sport or whatever on these shows, but we want to start where things have to start because it is such a big day in the calendar for all Liverpool fans and really all of football worldwide. So we're going to start, obviously I've got myself here, I've got Errol's here as well. We're going to talk to a couple of the Liverpool articles or whatever relating to the anniversary today, and then we do have a couple more news stories which we'll get to. If you want to leave any thoughts, feelings or tributes or whatever to the 96 and the friends and families associated with Hillsborough, please do in the comments, and obviously spread some love on social media as well, because it is a very, very trying and testing period for those affected by the disaster. Liverpool Football Club, by the official Liverpool website, have paid tributes to the 96 Liverpool supporters who lost their lives. They laid a wreath at the memorial at Anfield. On the wreath read, "We stand together today as a family to remember the 96 Liverpool fans, men, women and children who so tragically lost their lives at Hillsborough. It's saddening that during these unprecedented circumstances that we cannot be together today in person at the last ever memorial service at Anfield to pay our respects to the 96, their families, the survivors and everyone affected by this tragedy. We hope to reschedule a memorial service in the near future so that we can come together to celebrate the lives of the 96. Despite this, we are together in spirit today to offer our love and support on this very difficult day. The 96 will forever be in our thoughts. They will never be forgotten. You'll never walk alone." From everyone at LFC and the LFC Foundation. Jürgen Klopp has put a message out on social media as well, saying, "Today is the most significant day for our football club each year. The plan was that we were together at Anfield today, but this is not possible. The only thing we can make sure is that we're in each other's thoughts, and believe me, you are in our thoughts. You have our thoughts, our prayers. Most of all, you have our love. You'll never walk alone." And the Liverpool captain, Jordan Henderson, has similarly sent a video message out saying, "Today was a day when, as a club, we were supposed to be together at Anfield to honour the lives of 96 people who went to a football match and never came home. The fact that we were unable to do so will make this anniversary especially hard for families and survivors of Hillsborough. I'm not one for making speeches, but on behalf of all the players at Liverpool, I want to let you know that everyone affected know that you are in our thoughts today. As ever, we are together in spirit. Even if we can't be together in person, you'll never walk alone." Errol, I mean, I think it is the most important thing for this. Obviously, Liverpool's captain, Liverpool's manager coming at Liverpool, making sure that it's not forgotten. First and foremost, it's a very, very unusual circumstance. We're so used for this day being a day where people get together, you know, where the club, the players and, you know, the staff all get together and lay wreaths and tributes. And we're so used to seeing memorials. It's a very unusual day that, you know, as mentioned, the most significant day in the calendar for Liverpool Football Club has to be done, you know, at a distance, really.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there, mate. And I think it's normally, if you're from Liverpool or, you know, in and around the city, you know it's a day that brings the whole city together. Both sides, of no matter who you support in that respect, everyone just comes together. You see it on people's Facebooks, on Twitters, I can imagine, you know, all the comments and the tributes that do come in. I just think in terms of our figureheads, for me, it just shows why, you know, we are at the moment, you know, the best club in the world. We've got people like that that still care. It's still at the heart of everything that they do, and the focal point. It doesn't really just get, as you said, just get left by the wayside. So I'm just, you know, hoping today that that process of collective thinking, and we can all just share that same positive energy and put our thoughts in towards that. And as I say, there will be a time for a proper memorial, I can imagine, because, you know, we don't do things by ourselves at Liverpool.
Yeah, 100% on that. And I think you're right. I think it's important that the figureheads of the clubs do come out and make these things known. It would have been easy. I say easy, I mean, not really, but you take my meaning on this, is that because of the current environment, it might have been, things might have fallen by the wayside. There's lots of other kind of thoughts and considerations. But what I like is at the centre of this, and I think this is important because for people watching at home and people listening at home, you know, we've seen people taking to the streets on Thursday evenings at 8 o'clock to clap the NHS and all that kind of stuff. Like, and it's nothing but a symbolic gesture, but symbolic gestures matter more now than ever before.
And it's that collective thinking, everyone and being in unison at the same time, giving that same energy out. I'm a big believer in that anyway, and I think, you know, it definitely is important that we're doing that in our own special way. I think the club at the moment, like any football club, is spinning so many plates, but this is one that's never been forgotten. It's never wobbled in any way. It's just always been a focal point, and it always will be for this club. And you know, I'm just, it just feels a bit strange, but I think it's like everyone's just compartmentalizing this period and knowing when we get out of this period that we've got a lot of making up on a lot of fronts to do.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, just a note to everyone at home there, as always, actually, and it's something that kind of, one of the things that kind of people tend to observe, particularly in the city of Liverpool, but there'll be a minute silence at 6 minutes past three, which is a fantastic thing. And as I say, you know, for so many people, like, social media is not a particularly important thing in our lives, but it's become more and more central during the pandemic. But I think what is vital, I think everyone needs to remember, is that our people who survived Hillsborough, there are families of people who survived, there are families of people who died, there are friends, there are support networks that simply cannot be together during this. And this is an incredibly hard and challenging day for so many people associated with Liverpool, unassociated with Liverpool, such as the city of Liverpool, I'm very quick to say that don't, you know, treat social media too seriously. But, you know, I think this is a really good time for people to spread positive messages, to send messages of love. You know, if you know people who've been affected by Hillsborough, to get in contact with and just make sure they're okay today, because this is, we've got wider things to worry about. We've got to take care of our families. You've got to take this and that. But on this day in particular, if you hold Liverpool Football Club, exactly, if you hold Liverpool Football Club in your heart, this, it's essential that we just do whatever, even if it's only a teeny tiny drop in the ocean, spread a bit of love today, because it could make a world of difference.
And I've been saying that, you know, since we've been in a new segment, since we've been, you know, on lockdown, you know, now's a great time to start a conversation. So as you were saying there, those people that are a little bit cut out of society at the minute, or a little bit isolated, and you know, they might have been there or whatever it was back in the day, everyone's got friends or family that have been affected, just reach out, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a FaceTime, whatever it might be, just start a conversation with people today. Everyone's got, you know, the topic of the day to really talk about, and just go from there.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, stay tuned, obviously, and have a read through the Redmen TV Twitter account and stuff. Obviously, Liverpool will be putting stuff out during the day. We'll be retweeting stuff, and obviously we're going to be a little bit more subdued and what have you, out of respect for today and what have you, but there is plenty of other stuff going to be going on throughout the rest of the week. And when we know a little bit more about what happens with the rescheduling of the memorial, then of course we will let you guys know as well. We're going to move on to a couple of just general football stories, and then one error from the Liverpool Echo, which talked, they've been, I don't know if it's them directly, oh sorry, the Times have been speaking to an epidemiologist, which is nice to speak to some experts, I guess, at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, who thinks it will not be possible for fans to attend sports events until a vaccine exists for coronavirus. And he said, basically, you know, 60,000 people is just far too big a risk for something very significant happening. He says, as a scientist, I hate to say I'm ever 100% sure about anything, but I'm as close to 100% as I've ever been that we cannot return to filled capacity stadium until we have a vaccine, period. The best guess is about 18 months. Now, of course, you know, you're talking about that might just be America. You never know, things might be a little bit quicker in England, but it's another one of those stories that we're probably not looking to hear right now. We kind of get them on the cycle every few days. You get a real boost about football, and then you get a real knockback on. Yeah, exactly. But I think ultimately, you know, we've kind of said that, you know, first and foremost, the ultimate caveat that we've been doing on the show for weeks now, public safety comes first and foremost. But yeah, it's a mad thought to think that. I think a lot of us have got on our heads that football might come back behind closed doors, which it probably will. But the idea that it might be a year and a half before we're able to get back in Anfield is, yeah, that's mad.
My biggest worry in that case is for the likes of players' wages and salaries. I don't know how that market is going to change if fans can't physically be in stadiums. And it's probably something that's not really for me to be thinking about, but that's just where my mind goes. Are players' values going to be worth that if people can't physically be in the stadiums and stuff? So it's going to have a huge, you know, ripple effect on the industry that is, you know, sport, whether it's football, whether it might be your rugby, whether it might be the UFC. You know, it's going to affect all sports. If you've got, even the Olympics are going to probably be affected for another couple of months in the Euro. So it's crazy because I think how much money is in sports as an industry. It's in the billions, and you know, it boggles my mind to think that, you know, the thing that gets people off the seats and, you know, makes people feel alive more time than not, you might have to just watch that from home all the time. And I think, you know, some of us do, and I enjoy watching the UFC at home. I enjoy watching the match at home, and you get the highlights and that, but you watch it because you know there's still a crowd there to give it an atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you can't, with everything AI at the moment and everything, you can't artificially make a football atmosphere. I mean, FIFA do, but it's not the same. So.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, it's a very, very unusual thing. And, you know, that's why we're living in unprecedented times. And every time something more of this kind of comes out, I think the problem is we could all do with it. I think we talked about this a bit. I don't know whether we did this on the Redmen podcast yesterday, but we were chatting around it, is that we could all just do with, like, some dates put in the future that we can all kind of wrap our heads around, for better or for worse, whatever the reality of it is, we'd all like to know. But that's the stage, right? We're still so early in it that everything, even now, even though the Times are speaking to an expert there, I mean, he doesn't know. You know, things can move on and things can change dramatically in that time.
Money talks, Paul.
Yeah, it does.
Especially, I know it sounds, sorry to be that guy, but, like, let's be honest, money does talk. So at some point, there will be the other camp that are pushing to say it's safe enough now, and it's safe enough. Let's get back to how it was, because they're thinking of profits and stuff. So it's a fine balance. But as you said earlier, you know, the caveat is from our perspective right now, it is the health and safety. So I could almost accept behind closed doors to finish this season. Yeah. I think a bigger conversation in terms of how the full next season and other football or sports events are going to be carried on for the next calendar year would need to be discussed, and you know, probably have to be drummed out over a good couple of weeks period, you know what I mean, before there's any real solid answer to it all. But I'm happy for the, you know, the remainder of this season to not be void and just go behind closed doors, no fans. I can accept that for, what is it, 8-9 games?
If that's the way they're able to do it, then I think,
and that's an acid test.
Yeah,
it's the perfect acid test across all the leagues. Everyone's in the same position. You've all got leagues to finish. Do that as an acid test, see how you get on, and then go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, two more stories quickly to get through then. Bournemouth have become the latest Premier League club to reverse the decision on furloughing non-playing staff, which is great to hear again from a moral perspective on that. They say these measures were not taken lightly given the operational pressures placed on clubs in such uncertain times. The club's board of directors said in a statement on Monday, however well-placed our intentions were, we are aware criticisms are levelled at Premier League clubs applying for this scheme. We've listened to our supporters and reversed our decision to furlough these employees. The board added in the statement, we as board of directors will ensure the club can continue to operate while the season is suspended, and we will not be applying for the coronavirus job retention scheme. Newcastle United, who are reportedly on the verge of new ownership, remain the only Premier League club to still be intending to take use of public funds. I didn't realise Norwich had also reversed the decision, which goes to tell you that all, to some extent, from a Liverpool perspective. I mean, again, we definitely live far more in the centre of the Liverpool bubble. But the story and the kickoffs that surrounded Liverpool stuff, like we only said yesterday, I think it was on the news show, well, Norwich, Newcastle and Bournemouth are still going. And yet since then, Bournemouth have come out of it. Apparently Norwich had done it and no one knew. It just goes to show that maybe the public outcry wasn't quite as big over the cause. It might have been a lot of it Liverpool related.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one, isn't it, mate? Because again, it's unprecedented. And I think from our perspective.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can't, when you're handling a situation of this magnitude, you're not going to make every decision right the first time you go around making a decision. And as far as I'm concerned, that's okay, as mm-hmm. long as you come back and make the right decision in the end by consensus, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, because there's no right way to do it. And until you see how other people are getting their ducks in line and think, all right, well, that's how they're doing it over there. That's how they're doing it. Okay, now I can see the sense in doing it like that. But yeah. originally, when you're just making an independent, isolated decision, again, as I say, on this magnitude, and your advisors are on the other side of the pond and the people that are on the other side of the pond and they don't physically understand and they think, oh, well, that's not necessarily a crutch, but that's a backstop for, you know, financial trouble in this. I can see the business aspects of why the decisions were made in the initial, mm-hmm. but when you actually get the on the ground view and the people that it affects most on a day-to-day basis, I can completely get that side of things.
Yeah.
So as I say, you were not going to get every decision right first time round, but as long as we come back around and get the decisions right for the, you know, for the majority of it, I'm quite happy to make sure that we get it right in the end.
Yeah, and interestingly, moving on then, the Mirror reporting what I think a lot of people know at this point, that Mike Ashley, owner of Newcastle United, has agreed in principle a £300 million deal to sell Newcastle to a Saudi Arabia backed consortium, which I wonder if that ties into this coronavirus retention scheme, because, you know, he's probably thinking, well, I'm on my way out, I'll save myself as much dough as possible. It would be surprising if, two reasons, I think it would probably make the handover a bit easier, because you're saying to the, you know, to the new owners, don't worry about the coronavirus stuff because we've made the business as light financially for you as possible. And also he's not losing any money on the way out the door as well. But, you know, he apparently bought it in 2007 for $133 million and has $110 million interest-free loan helping finance the club. It's funny, isn't it? Like, I mean, Newcastle are... they've been looking for this buyout for ages. I feel so sorry for Newcastle fans in some regards, because they're a great, great fan base. It's a really good football club. Mm. I don't know whether these new owners are going to be any better necessarily, but, you know, you'd struggle to be much worse than Mike Ashley.
I feel like, yeah, to be fair, I used to be one of his employees way back in the day. My first ever job was in a sports direct when I was 16. And boy, I lasted 2 years and I seen the light at the end of the tunnel. I thought, nah, the way that he runs his business, is it's just not okay. And he hasn't changed that method since 2008, and we're 2020 now. Yeah. And you know, you even see the stuff about Sports Direct and how their staff have been treated in this period of things as well. So it doesn't surprise me that he, as the individual he is, has pulled this little maneuver, because it's in his self-interest. And it's sad to see that on when something this big happens, some people are still like that. Put everything in itself interest at heart, but you know what, the world keeps spinning, because there are people like yourself, Paul, there are people like Redmen, there are people like the Liverpool family, and I swear to God, there are people like us that just, you know, at the end of the day, it's about a bigger community sense of things, and days like this just, you know, ring true when it comes to stuff like that, as far as I'm concerned. So
yeah,
it's all about powering the people.
It's going to be interesting to see what that means in terms of the Premier League, what it means for Newcastle. We've seen with Everton that, you know, because of financial fair play, you can't come in and blitz the league anymore from day one. But, you know, we also did a chat on that, again, I think it was yesterday's news, where we talked about, like, the Tottenham Hotspur Newcastle comparisons, that are Newcastle fundamentally a bigger football club than Tottenham, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got a situation where, particularly where, you know, where money matters so much, it's you could see Newcastle all of a sudden back to being one of those in contention for the top four, top five, top six places in the league if they've got some proper backing. So, you know, as and when football returns, at least there'll be another interesting thing to see.
We thought the league was topsy-turvy at the start of, you know, the season. It's going to be mental when everything goes back, you know, everything. I think some teams will have really benefited from this prolonged period of, you know, just no football and getting some players back, and especially some managers haven't been in their tenures that long as well. So to get a rein about, you know, they want the club to go moving forward and not have the pressure of week in, week out performances. Because as you say, football's a performance-led game. If you lose on week in, week out, chances are you're going to lose your job very quickly.
Yeah.
But there have been a few managers that have had a grace period by virtue of there's been no football to play. So when we come back to football, I just can't see it being anything other than nuts. It's going to be crazy, but it'll be good for the fans.
Good to keep us entertained, if nothing else. Yeah. So anyway, look, we're going to wrap up there. We're going to take some of your comments before we do. If you want more in-depth chat and what have you around all the Liverpool and big football stories as well, the Reds News Roundup show is recording today. That'll be on the RedmenTV.com at 7:30 tonight. So do go and check that out if you're looking for something to occupy you this evening and beyond as well. And of course, I sat down via satellite link up with Jimmy Traore, which is in full 60 minutes chatting to a man who, you know, single-handedly... Not really. But he had a strong hand in Liverpool lifting the European Cup in 2005. Right, we're going to get to your comments then. Yes, Rachel Ellis on the Hillsborough stuff. And Tom's actually made a note of saying there were loads and loads of nice comments, but it's just a selection of them. Rachel Ellis said, what a beautiful day for the anniversary. Yeah, the sun is shining, the skies are blue here in the city of Liverpool. And, you know, I don't know what we're, I mean, it's one of those situations where obviously people have got to maintain the social distance. But if you're living close enough, Anfield is in walking distance, it's within your allotted, you know, allowed amount of, you know, outdoor exercise time. I mean, I'm glad that people will be able to kind of, I presume, be able to walk past the memorial and see it and maybe pay their own personal respects, provided they're still able to maintain the distance. Stephen Somerville says, I wasn't alive on that day, but I hear stories from my parents on where they were that day. Hillsborough, to me, is remembering the 96. They tragically lost their lives. I'll be watching a documentary tonight. And Liverpool Media says, the 96 will always be in our hearts and prayers. We can put our arms around each other. We can all put our arms around each other. Stay safe and strong. Again, we've kind of talked it through, Errol, but I think, you know, just to reiterate for people who may be joining us on the show, there's not much we can do in a physical sense, but yeah, definitely, you know, in the limited things that we can do, we've got the power of social media and all that kind of stuff, but it's a great opportunity for people to really share some love today.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So that's the best place to put it right now. Just put all your thoughts and everything, social media, YouTube, Facebook, anything that you can access at the minute. Definitely spread some positive messages, some positive thoughts out there to the people.
On football's return then, banana, our year as champions and we aren't allowed into Anfield, just painful. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, isn't it? The juxtaposition of this is a bit tricky, obviously, with the Hillsborough stuff. It all feels very, very... Well, it's just not important, really, is it? I mean, given the wider circumstances. But, you know, I think at the moment, the thing that's getting me is, like, they've got the banner hung off from the cop. And you just, you know, that they're the things for me that today, the most important thing. We'll deal with the football stuff in due course. But it's, yeah, I can't get my head around the fact that, you know, there's all these people who are going to be at home and locked away today who could really do with the support. But, yeah, again, hopefully, you know, all we can share is thoughts and feelings. Hope they're doing a little bit better from all that kind of stuff. Just briefly then on the Newcastle stuff, Stephen Somerville, if the Saudis take over, they'll be competing with us and City, which would be a good title race in future, maybe. To lighten the tone to some extent at all, you know, I love Newcastle and I love that little spell in the 90s where they were a mad football team and they were like...
Never know what you was going to get, did you?
Yeah, exactly. And in terms of, like, again, proper football clubs with proper football fan bases and all that, I'd have no problem with seeing Newcastle right up at the top table. And the Evertonians can't stand them, like, but I'd love that. You know, good fans, great heart, love to see football played the right way. If you could get that Newcastle challenging, that'd be very exciting.
And to be fair as well, I know a lot of people say, oh, well, they've had loads of money and you've been invested. Every club's had a lot of money poured into them in the last 10 years and been invested. And look who their last owner was, bro. Their last owner was not investing in their playing staff, wasn't investing in their managing staff, wasn't investing in the coaching staff to the levels that they should have been at. And I'd be the same if I was a Newcastle fan. I'd want to see, you know, our day at the top of the pecking order again. And I think, you know, it makes it a little bit more interesting for us because we kept saying, you know, earlier in the year that it was a top eight. Before you know it, it is just going to be a top 10 of teams that can all take a scalp on the other one and you never know which one you're going to get. So it just makes the league more competitive. Hopefully, you know, we can still stay four or five steps ahead of the chasing pack.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good that people are putting that pressure on because it means we've still got to keep striving for new heights.
Absolutely. You know, you've got a situation now where if I mean, it's not going to happen immediately, but over the next couple of years, you're going to see Everton taking a stronger hand, I think, toward the top end of the table. Newcastle Leicester. Could be that. You've got Leicester, absolutely.
Wolves ain't going anywhere.
Wolves is going to be interesting to see what happens with them.
Sheff's another one that could be interesting to see what happens.
Sheffield United. Yeah, you know, and then adding to that, you've still got your Tottenham Hotspur, your Arsenals, your Man Uniteds, your Chelseas.
They're not going anywhere. Their institutions in this footballing game, they're not going anywhere. I think the way Spurs have dug in for 10 years now, and you've been 10 years on that cusp of top four, top five, top six, you know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. They might have had a bit of a decline and a bit of a... bit went backwards, but in terms of the clubs and the size of them, they're only growing bigger and they're going to be looking to take a scalp on us just now.
Yeah, absolutely. And just lastly then from the comments, Joe Rainbird says, I really like Newcastle, not the players, not the owners, but the fans that make the football club. Good riddance, Mike Ashley. Yes, good riddance, Mike Ashley indeed. Fingers crossed for all the Newcastle fans and for the likes of Newcastle Fans TV, etc., who are going to be waiting with bated breath, hopefully, to have their football club back.
True, George, you'll be made up.
Yeah, he'll be absolutely buzzing. Shout out to Brian, put a smile on his little face. Thanks very much for watching, for subscribing to the YouTube channel as well. If you haven't done this, if you're watching live, do drop a subscribe to the channel. We'll be back with Redmen News on Friday. Tomorrow is the Liverpool social wrap-up, your digest of all the upbeat, fun and interesting things that the Liverpool world have got to offer, particularly the players, etc. That show is going to be premiering live at 12:30 tomorrow, so tune in the comments for that. It should be an absolute belter. Check out the previous two editions in the last 2 weeks if you need a little bit of a lift today. And other than that, thank you, Errol. Thank you at home.
Thanks for having us.
Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.